Umaga po sa bawat isa. Kung may mga Bicolano, Marahay na Aldaw Tabis, ay Indogobos. It's great to be with you. I've heard much about this church. I think I first heard about First Filipino Baptist Church about 20 years ago in Albay Province. And I was here 2 years ago. We did a youth activity here on a Friday night. But this is my first time to be with you at a worship service, so it's a great honor to be with you. And I want to thank you as a congregation for your partnership with us in the work, especially in Albay Province. So just again, thank you for your prayers, for your support, for those of you who have gone and served with us back in the Philippines. When we think about the life of Jesus and his disciples, there was a real rhythm to their life. It included activities that were designed to help the 12 grow in faith, but it also included activities in which they went out and served others. So it wasn't grow only, nor was it serve only, nor was it even just grow on your own and serve on your own. Instead, it was a real healthy balance of growing together and serving together. The same is true today. The best churches are those who grow together and serve together. The best ministry teams are those that grow together and serve together. Not growing only, not serving only, but a simultaneous, continuous growing together and serving together. And this morning, I want us to look at a biblical example of that. And we'll do so by looking at the life of Timothy. Hopefully you have a Bible because we'll be looking at several different passages about Timothy's life. But to make it a little bit easier, we'll look at three phases of his life. And we'll look at who were his companions in growing and serving during each of those three phases. And as we do so, I believe we will all be greatly challenged to also have these kinds of companions with us at every phase of life, with whom we can grow together and serve together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful morning, for bringing us together into this place of worship, for the fact that you are here among us. And we do pray that now as we turn our hearts and minds to your word, that you would indeed speak to each one of us through the amazing life of Timothy. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So the first phase of Timothy's life was from birth to somewhere around 15 years of age. Do we have some teenagers here today? Could you raise your hand? Yeah, we have a lot of teenagers, so kind of up to your age. And his companions in growth and service in this first phase of his life were especially his grandmother, his mother, and his fellow believers. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is the first of many passages we'll look at. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul wrote, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." So, his grandmother and mother were members of this church in Lystra. They were probably among the very first Christians in that place. And you can imagine as Timothy grew up, you can just imagine these two women telling him the great stories of Adam and Noah and Abraham, Moses, Deborah, David, the prophets, and of course, eventually, Mary, John the Baptist, and Jesus. So he grew up in a household of faith and was very much hearing those wonderful stories from his grandmother and mother. However, this doesn't mention his dad, does it? Turn over to Acts chapter 16, and we'll find out something very interesting. That even though his mother and grandmother were believers, he was raised in a multi-ethnic home. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. His father was a Greek. So we've seen his mother was a follower of Jesus. She came from a Jewish background, but had come to faith in Jesus Christ. But his father was a Greek. And there's no mention that his father was a believer in Jesus Christ. So he grew up in a family of two ethnicities, two different belief systems. And many children who grow up in that kind of a situation can grow up quite confused. What is the truth? Do I follow my father's faith and way of life, or do I follow my mother's faith and way of life? But there's no evidence in the story of Timothy that he was confused. Instead, it's quite clear that he came to faith in Jesus Christ at a young age and was very certain of his faith and his Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a girl I served in Albay province many years ago. And she was in kindergarten when I met her. And she was from a very Catholic family. But they had put her in the Seventh-day Adventist kindergarten because it was a very good school. And so when I first met her, I asked her, you know, the typical questions, including, what is your religion? And she said, Catholico born-again Sabadista. She said she was a Catholic, born-again, Seventh-day Adventist. And so I asked her, well, when you grow up, what do you want to be? And she said immediately, I will be a born-again Christian. And this was long before any of, you know, her parents, her aunts, her grandparents had come to faith. She, as a young girl, could already see the beauty of Scripture and of Jesus Christ in Scripture. And I'm happy to say she's now a young woman working and a very faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Well, like that girl, Timothy grew up a follower of Jesus Christ, and he was made wise by Scripture. Probably for many of us, if we think of all the passages in 1 and 2 Timothy, one of our favorite passages is that one in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's look at that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 14 to 17. Wonderful passage about the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. Paul said, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So Paul grew up in a church that preached the Scripture. And like I said, Paul, in his household, his grandmother and mother were also constantly telling him Bible stories and passing on the wisdom of Scripture to him. And as a result, from a young age, he had found the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. But then as they continued to study the Scriptures together, the truth replaced those wrong beliefs that he may have picked up on the streets, or, you know, playing with other children, or just other things he had picked up along the way. Any sinful conduct he had was corrected by the Word of God. He was trained in righteous living. And as a result, he became competent. Even as a young man, even as a teenager, he was already highly equipped for ministry. A fantastic testimony to his grandmother, mother, and the church that he belonged to. The same is happening today, but not as much as we'd like it to have happened. There are many great churches that are still proclaiming the Word of God and still equipping people for ministry, but not as many as we'd like to see. In the Philippines, there was a very important study done several years ago by the Southern Baptists, and they found that 30% of the churches they planted on Mindanao disappeared before reaching their 10th anniversary. They just closed down. And when they went back in, they were asking why. Anong nangyari? They didn't want that to happen again. And so they really surveyed it to discover what had happened. And they found out that those churches disappeared because of lack of leadership. The missionaries, the others, hadn't stuck with those new congregations long enough to really equip those new believers for works of service. They weren't continuing to grow together, and so they were no longer serving together. Instead, those churches disappeared. Let's go back and think about the second phase of Timothy's life. And this was probably, again, from around age 15 to mid-20s. So how many of you here today would be from like 15 to 25 years old? Can we see your hands? Okay, so a number of you too. Probably many others are away at college or something from this congregation. Well, his companions in growth and service in this phase of his life were Paul and Silas. Wow, how fantastic. Again, let's go back to Acts chapter 16 and read a little more of this story, how he got started with these two. Acts 16, I'll read verses 1 to 3. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So who was Paul's companion on his first missionary journey? Do you remember? Yeah, Barnabas. But you remember the two of them kind of had a falling out. And so on the second journey, who was his first partner in ministry? Silas. So Silas was from the church in Jerusalem. He was well spoken of, highly thought of in the church in Jerusalem. We learn from the book of Acts that he had the gift of prophecy. He could proclaim the word of God very clearly and powerfully. We also learn that he had risked his life for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, what a great companion for Timothy, a young man getting involved in ministry. But then we see here that the second teammate that Paul picked for this second journey was Timothy. And this was a huge honor for this young man to get to travel with Paul and Silas. And he was selected because he, like Silas, was well spoken of by the fellow believers where he came from. So imagine the three of them traveling around, going to places where there were no believers and proclaiming Jesus Christ. And initially, Timothy was probably mostly observing Paul and Silas, watching their life, watching their service, watching their suffering. Look at verses 4 and 5 in Acts chapter 16. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So initially, they were going back to churches that had already been started and passing on that good news from the Jerusalem Council, that Greeks don't have to become Jews to be followers of Jesus. And that we still benefit from that decision, right? But then Think of the rest of Acts chapter 16. As they then went into other places where there were no churches. They led Lydia to faith. But then Paul and Silas were seized. They were dragged before the rulers, attacked, stripped, beaten, imprisoned, and their feet fastened in the stocks. Now, why wasn't Timothy mentioned as also being in prison with them? We don't know, but it's probably because he was such a young person. And so they figured, well, he doesn't know any better. But he knew Paul and Silas were in that prison. And then we look at Acts chapter 17, once Paul and Silas had been released and they continued on their way. They went to Thessalonica and Berea, where great things happened, but in a very short time, they were persecuted and Paul had to flee. Timothy was watching all of this. He was learning, growing together with them, serving together with them. And as a result, well, Paul was also observing Timothy as he was growing and learning to serve. And as a result, Paul then began sending Timothy back to these dangerous places. I can't go back. They're going to kill me. But you're a young man. Hindi masyadong mapapansin. Ikaw na lang. How would you feel? Yeah, they were trying to stone me, but you can go. I mean, how would you feel? You, those of you who are like 15 to 25, would you be, oh, sige, ako na. I mean, wow, what courage this young man had. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and see one of those examples. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll look at verses 1 to 3. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. Wow, what did Paul call young Timothy? His brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. Wow. That testified to the fact that Timothy was growing in the faith and in service. And Paul sent him there to establish and exhort them. I mean, this means that Paul believed this is a capable young man. He is gifted in service. He really is worthy. Listen to him. Yes, he's very young, but he is a godly young man. Let's also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and see another example of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15 to 17. Paul wrote, "For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways of Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church." So here, Paul called Timothy his beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Again, Paul himself was the witness to the growth and service of this young man. And he said that he was sending Timothy to remind them of his ways in Christ. Paul was confident that this young guy was watching him closely and knew what it meant to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Paul was like saying, he's growing with me and serving with me. He can tell you all about it. Again, what a tremendous word of praise from Paul about the abilities of this young man. But also, and we don't often notice this, but imagine you, again, you young men, if you were traveling with two people like Paul and Silas, a gifted prophet, would you ever want to do the preaching and teaching? No. I'd be like sitting at their feet. Pastor, Ikao. I mean, who am I to speak when he's here? But it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that not just Paul and Silas, but Paul, Silas, and Timothy were proclaiming Christ. So there are times when Timothy was doing the preaching and teaching. Again, a fantastic piece of evidence that he was with Paul and Silas, growing together, serving together. And this reminds me of a church I know well in Batangas province. It's a church that has always had outstanding pastors and lay leaders. Their youth and young adults watch the lives, the service, and the suffering of their pastors and lay leaders, and from a very young age imitate them, follow in their footsteps. And as a result, they've learned the importance of evangelism and church planting, no matter what it costs. So they themselves, for many years now, have gone and opened outreaches and planted churches. It's a fantastic example, and many of them are now missionaries in different parts of the world. Now, some people would say, well, you know, teenagers and young adults, they aren't really yet qualified to go plant churches. But we look at Timothy, we look at this church in Batangas, and we see, no, there are many young people who know Jesus Christ well. And they're already preaching the gospel in their schools, in their places of work. They are very able to do this kind of work. And just this one church in Batangas province, those young members of their church have planted 10 churches in that city. Again, very much like Timothy. Growing together in service, growing together, serving together, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, establishing churches where there are none. Well, let's think now about the third phase of Timothy's life. And again, this would be kind of 25 years and upward. So that would be like the great majority of you in the congregation today. And at this point, he had many companions in growth and service. And much of the time, we don't realize that they were simultaneously connecting as they lived and served with Paul, because it's an amazing group of people. So for instance, in the letter to Philippi, Paul called Epaphroditus his brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, a messenger and minister. I wish there was more about Epaphroditus in the Bible, because this is one of those men you just want to learn from. It goes on to say that Epaphroditus nearly died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to serve Paul. And you can imagine Timothy watching Epaphroditus serve in this way and just, again, learning so much from this fellow servant. Probably my favorite couple in the New Testament is Priscilla and Aquila. And I had seen their name in Scripture for many years, but not really thought about it much until about 5 years ago, and I really studied their lives in detail. And I was greatly impressed. Wherever they lived, a church met in their house. And it seems like wherever they went, they started a church and led a church that met in their house. In Romans, Paul called this couple his fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Yes, they made tents together, but they also were fellow workers in starting new churches wherever they went. And Paul added, they too risked their lives for me. So young Timothy is watching people like Epaphroditus, people like Priscilla and Aquila, who are there serving together with Paul and risking their lives so that Paul can continue to proclaim Jesus Christ and to start churches where there are none. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul praised Onesiphorus for the way he served Paul. He refreshed Paul. He was not ashamed to visit Paul when Paul was in prison and in chains. Many others were ashamed. Baka madamay ako kung bisitahin ko yan. But not this man. So just think of these amazing companions that Timothy had in this phase of his life. And you can just imagine their discussions, talking about the Christian life and growing together and how they were experiencing God's faithfulness in new ways as they went from place to place, growing together, serving together, suffering together, taking risks together for the sake of the gospel and for Paul. As a result, it shouldn't be at all surprising that Timothy reached the point where Paul treasured him as a co-worker. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Philippians 2, verses 19 to 22. Paul wrote, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me." Timothy had become a mature Christian, someone who sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not like these other people that Paul mentions here. Timothy is genuinely concerned for your welfare. He's selfless. He does this at great cost to himself, but that's okay. He's all about serving the kingdom of God. And so as a result, Paul felt that Timothy had become a Christian who was worthy to be imitated. And he mentioned this in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Paul wrote, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Again, because of the companions that Timothy had had in life, growing together, serving together, suffering together, it reached the point where he was an example. Someone worthy to be imitated. And probably the clearest evidence of this is in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23, the end of the letter. "You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon." We don't know the details, but Timothy had been imprisoned. Had he committed a crime? Had he done something horrible? No. Simply because he was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, like Paul. At some point, he was imprisoned. We don't know the details. And at this point, he was being released. And we can imagine, like the early apostles, he probably rejoiced because he was counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus Christ. I have a very good friend, one of my first friends to get married. And shortly after she was married, she said to me, "If you want to become holy, get married. It will really sanctify you." A few years later, they had a child. And she said, "If you want to get even holier, have children. That will really sanctify you." Parents sacrifice much to raise their children. They value their children's welfare more than they value their own welfare. But the same is true of churches that plant churches. There's a lot of sacrifice involved, a lot of suffering. Churches that plant churches put aside some of their own needs to help the needs of those churches that they are planting. And instead of always just kind of remaining together, they're always going and serving and helping those others who have great spiritual needs as babes in Christ. They're willing to suffer for those new believers. And as a result, those kinds of churches, again, like Paul and his team, they become examples of the Christian life, of what it means to grow together, to serve together, to suffer together, to extend the kingdom of God together. And because of that, many will then praise them and thank them. I want to tell you one more story about a church in the Philippines. It's a small church on Bohol Island. Is anyone here from Bohol? Okay, relatively small island. Not many believers yet on that island. But there's a small congregation of 30 believers in a fairly rural part of the northern part of the island. And you'd probably think, well, you know, a church of 30, ano ang magagawa nila? Kunti lang siguro. Ano, probably not much they can do. But in the last 3 years, that little church has grown together, served together, and they are now discipling 600 people in the communities that surround them. Just amazing. Growing together, serving together, often suffering together. They don't have much money. They are poor subsistence farmers, most of them. But they're doing what they can to go to the neighboring barangays to take them the good news of Jesus Christ. Most of those communities are under the control of the NPA. Young people, you know the NPA? Okay. No permanent address. Nice people around. That is the armed branch of the Communist Party in the Philippines. Those are the rebels who control many of the rural parts of the Philippines. Okay? The NPA, the New People's Army. And so this little church of 30, they're taking risks. Every time they go into one of those communities controlled by the communists, they don't know what will happen. They have no idea what will happen. But again, they're growing together, serving together, taking risks together, greatly extending the kingdom of God in the northern part of that island. And they now are discipling 600 people. Wow. Well, like Timothy, you as a congregation, you are on a journey of growing together. And I believe you have fellow members among you who already are worthy of imitation. They are mature believers. They serve. They take risks. They suffer. They're willing to sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom of God. I think you also are on a journey already of serving together. And again, this congregation is well known for being a congregation that plants churches. And that's fantastic. In fact, our Canadian director here, John Fuller, told me he was recently at a meeting of several pastors from around the city. and they were talking about church planting. And he asked the pastors, well, how many of your churches are planting churches? Most of them dropped their head. No, we aren't planting churches. But the Filipinos were like, oh yeah, we're planting churches. And again, this is one congregation that is setting a good example here in Toronto of what it means to grow together, but also to serve together, to make sacrifices to extend the kingdom of God in Toronto and beyond. But will that continue? Will the Timothys and the Timotheas in your congregation carry this on? That's a big question. There are tremendous needs just here in Toronto, let alone other parts of the world. And I believe the answer to that question will depend on how you respond to the trials you face. If you stand firm together during times of trials, if you suffer together without complaining, if you continue serving together in spite of persecution, then you will indeed serve faithfully. You'll pass on a tremendous legacy to your children and the youth of this congregation. And First Filipino Baptist Church will continue to be a congregation worthy of imitation. A group of believers who are growing together, serving together, suffering together, making sacrifices together to extend the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Scripture and for the amazing stories that it tells us. And this morning we've especially looked at Timothy. And we've seen that in the three phases of his life for which there's a record, he had fantastic companions in growth and service. Started in his home with his grandmother and his mother. And then his fellow believers in those couple of towns. They grew together. They served together. So that Timothy, even by the very young age of something like 15, was already well spoken of because of his faith and his service. And so when Paul met him, Paul said, I want this young man to travel with me. And for the next many years, he then did travel with Paul. And he learned so much growing together and serving together with Paul and Silas. And then in latter years, people like Epaphroditus and Priscilla and Aquila and Onesiphorus and so many others, they grew together, they served together, they made sacrifices together. They were imprisoned, all to extend the kingdom of God, to take the good news of Jesus Christ to where it hadn't yet been proclaimed, to plant churches in places that still lack churches. And so we thank you for the example of Timothy. Father, I thank you for the members of this congregation who are following in those footsteps, who are already worthy of imitation, who are growing together, serving together, taking risks together to extend the kingdom. And we would pray that there would be many more in this congregation. And we pray especially for their young people, that there would be many Timothys and Timotheas in this congregation, who as they watch their older brothers and sisters in this congregation, they would see what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, who's not out there just doing things alone, but who value being together with fellow believers to grow together and to serve together. And that this congregation will continue to produce godly young men and women who are extending the kingdom of God right here in Toronto, and in other parts of the world, wherever you take them. So again, Father, thank you for the fruit that this congregation has already borne. And we pray that in the years to come, they will continue to be a congregation that bears much fruit here in Toronto and in the other parts of the world to which you send their members. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.